community. This is a special Sunday for us. We do have a lot of folks because of a nearby college that are here dropping off students. We don't want you, if you're from the community, to get lost in that mix. So make sure that you reach out to folks around you. Folks will be talking to people. If they assume that you're connected with the college, please just let them know. No, I'm just here. We want to make sure that that we welcome everyone. We love our college students. We love this Sunday when they're coming back. But we also love everyone who comes into our midst. And we hope that you'll be back with us as often as you can. As Buddy pointed out during the call to worship, today is a special Sunday. We thought that this would be a great day to allow everyone, students are coming in, our members, parents are dropping off students, to know what's going on here at Livingston, what to expect in the year to come. And so we're going to be tying that in here into our worship about our plans so that you can know what's happening here as you're making decisions about what congregation to be with, what you're going to be doing with your year. We thought this would be a great time to share with our congregation what's going to be going on so we can accomplish those multiple purposes. I want to begin by sharing what Livingston is all about. Here at Livingston, we've recognized that we have a purpose. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We recognize in this text that we have a goal of making disciples. I'd like to share with you what that means for us here at Livingston. And I want to share that not only with guests, but also the congregation. Last night, Ethan, my son, the 15-year-old, said to me, "Hey, Dad, what are you going to be talking about tomorrow?" I said, "Oh, we're going to be talking about discipleship. We're going to be talking about our plans. We're going to be talking about the discipleship circle." He said, "Oh, I'm about tired of hearing about that discipleship circle." I said, "Awesome. That means we've been talking about it enough. We want you to know what discipleship is and what our goals regarding discipleship are. We want you to know it so well that you dream about it, that you recite it in your sleep, that this circle that I'm going to show you is emblazoned on your brain, and you see it just when you look up at a white surface. You just see that circle. That's what we want to show you. We want to talk about what is a disciple. We recognize that a disciple is centered around God. And there are several things that we are focused on when it comes to developing disciples. In John 15 and verse 8, it says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." We understand that a disciple is someone who glorifies God. A disciple is someone who honors God. Secondly, in John chapter 6 and verse 45, it is written in the prophets, "And they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." We understand that a disciple learns from God. So we want to develop people who honor God and people who learn from God. We recognize in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And one of the things we've highlighted is that while the Bible demonstrates we are to love all people, here in John chapter 13, he says that the world's going to know we're his disciples if we love one another. A disciple then is someone who loves like God. And then we recognize in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John's goal with the book. He says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." John wrote this book to point others to God, because that's what a disciple does. A disciple points others to God. What is a disciple? A disciple is someone who honors God. A disciple is someone who learns from God. A disciple is someone who loves like God. And a disciple is someone who points others to God. And finally, we recognize from John chapter 8 and verse 31, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples.'" All of this is discipleship when we are abiding in the word of God. We are striving to develop disciples who honor God, learn from God, love like God, point others to God, all while abiding in God's word. We as a congregation are striving to very simply accomplish this purpose. And because of that, we have developed some plans that we hope will work around this circle and get us in a cycle of just going around this circle as we are growing in our discipleship. A way of accomplishing honoring God, of getting the congregation, the number one thing, and there's some overlap in all of this, but the number one thing we do to help develop folks in honoring God is our Sunday assemblies. We're so glad you're here. We hope you see that this is about honoring God. And we hope that you can take what you learn from this time together into your own personal life with God as you honor Him individually and personally. Our weekly Bible classes are the number one main thing that we do to help disciples learn from God. We hope that you can be a part of our Bible classes. Brother Joe Rose in a few moments is going to say more about what we've got coming with those in the year to come. We are developing a plan, and I'm going to talk more about this later in our assembly this morning, but to love like God, we're developing a plan of house-to-house meetings. And then, of course, to point others to God, we are focused on evangelistic outreach and many efforts that we have regarding that. But all of these are specifically designed to help develop disciples. And you know what happens when we have people pointing others to God? We've got new people coming in learning how to honor God, who then learn to learn from God and love like God. And they start pointing others to God. And what do those people start doing? See how we can work around this circle? Don't just see it as a circle. See it as an upward spiral of growth individually, congregationally, and with folks that we meet in our community. That's the overall thing. That's what we're doing in general. That's no matter what's happening each year, that's what we're going to be doing from now on out. But in the midst of that, we have our annual theme. And that's what I want to share with you now. We have just wrapped up, or we are wrapping up here in August, our theme of victorious. We long for victory. Am I right? We long for victory. And we've been talking about that all year long, and I hope that it has been edifying and uplifting, and it's got us confident that we are working towards victory. When we're talking about victory, that kind of has a tendency to get us thinking about the end. This coming year, we're now going to back up. And instead of just looking at the end, we're going to be talking about that journey that helps make us victorious. In the year to come, our theme is pursuing holiness. We understand that when it comes to our victory doesn't come by sitting on our laurels, by just resting on our backsides, by saying, well, I got baptized, everything's okay now, I'm just going to wait for the victory to happen at the end. We understand that Jesus has made us victorious for a purpose. And the purpose is so that we can be a people set apart for good works, zealous for good deeds. He has set us apart and given us the victory so that we can be holy like He is holy. And so in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 4, our theme verse for the year, it tells us to pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. We want to pursue holiness because without that, no one will see the Lord. In both the law and the gospel, God has revealed, be holy, for I am holy. And it is our desire that we, as children of God, as disciples, that we will recognize the victory in Jesus Christ has set us free so that we may pursue holiness. That is our goal for this year, and I am excited. That theme is really going to kick off on September 6th. We're going to be moving forward with that theme for our 2015-2016 year. I hope that you, as members, and if you're our guest thinking about being with us, that you will want to join us on that journey, pursuing holiness. We're not here to play church. We're not here to make sure that every Sunday and Wednesday we check off some things. We're here to change our lives. We know that Jesus Christ has changed our lives so that we can be holy. Anybody long to be holy? Let me try that again. Anybody long to be holy? Yeah, that's what this year is going to be about. We want you to be a part of that. Consider what it says in Hebrews chapter 4. I want you to think now about this memorial that we're about to partake in. Consider what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have a great high priest. Why is he great? I'll tell you why our high priest is great. Our high priest is great because our high priest is holy. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Does that not suggest that if we long for holiness, we know to whom we should look? Our example, our Savior who knows what holiness looks like, who knows how to be holy, our Savior has paved the way and he has opened the gates and the doors to holiness by allowing his body to be nailed to a cross, ripped open by scourges, pierced by nails, and allowed his blood to be poured out on the ground so that our sins can be taken away, so that he can look to us and say, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Go and be holy. That's what we're about to remember. Jesus has opened the door to holiness for us. Let's remember that. Tim.
What a fitting song as we begin to think about pursuing holiness. An expression of one longing to be a disciple, to be more like my Savior. The author of this song, number 681, if you want to look at it again, details several qualities that we see exemplified in Jesus, and areas that we find ourselves struggling in at one time or another, maybe often. The need for more gratitude, the need for more trust, for hope, for patience, for joy, for steadfastness, for strength. Some specific concrete qualities a growing disciple wants to develop. It's a prayer that we just sung, an appeal to God for his help to strengthen us in sanctification. And it's in line with what Paul reminded the Ephesians about in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, as when he reminded them they were taught and learned Christ, the truth, they were to put off the old self and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, the parallel passage, Paul talks about the new self being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. The fact is, the more we know about God and our Savior, the ones who created us and provided the opportunity for recreation to pull us out of sin and what it has given us is death, the more likely we will want to become like them, and the more likely we will become like them. And so in Hebrews chapter 12, not only are we told to be holy because he is holy, in verse 10, right before the verse that's going to be our theme this year in verse 14, Paul, the writer of Hebrews, reminds us that God wants us to share his holiness. And that's why he disciplines us. And that's why he disciples us. We want to see him. And we want to ultimately be with him in eternity. We don't want to just be holy. And he doesn't just want us to be holy. He wants us to share his holiness. And we only come to know him as we learn from him what he revealed of himself. And so as we talk about beginning a new year, and to some of you that may seem a little strange. It's not January, it's August. But we've around here always felt that August is the time when the students come back and we're beginning school and all sorts of things are kind of summing up from the summer. This feels like a new year to us and a time to renew ourselves and our energies as we begin some new thoughts and themes for us to use in growing as disciples. And as we continue to work and improve our learning from God by focusing on these areas that Edwin helped us with a few minutes ago, I want to focus just a few minutes on the area of our Bible classes. A disciple learns from God. And we're trying to emphasize that our effort, a next step for us as we grow as disciples, is to be involved and to learn from God so we can become like him and be like our Savior. And so this coming September, we're going to be introducing some new Bible classes. It's a time that our children's classes change. If they're going into a new grade or new age, they go into a new class. But starting this fall, the shepherds have decided that we're going to use our auditorium class for an anchor class, we're calling it. We've laid out a schedule to work our way through the Bible in 4 years. And what we're going to be doing is trying to keep that going so that we can always be learning and continuing to improve our knowledge of God and his story and his theme that he has for us. We're going to be supplementing that with other classes in our classroom building. And there'll be more in-depth Old Testament and New Testament studies, some pertinent and topical, timely studies. We're going to be working this fall to identify a schedule of those further out than we have in the past. We're wanting to try to let you all know of things that are going to be coming up in the spring and in the summer of next year and even next fall if we can. I want to thank those who are our teachers. Thanks to the connection cards, we've heard from a lot of you how much you've enjoyed Brother John Beckstead's class that he's teaching this summer. He came to us with that suggestion. Said, I'd like to teach a class on this topic of the churches and the travels of Paul. And he put it together, and he's been teaching it. And we appreciate all of you letting us know that you're enjoying that. And thank you, John, for doing that. We want to identify some additional men, those who are willing and able to be teachers, interested in tackling topics and studies that interest you and that you'd be willing to commit to teaching or co-teaching with someone else. And we're going to be working on doing that this fall. So men and even women for ladies' classes, let us know if you have a class you're willing to prep for and would commit to teach in the future. We'd like to be getting together and with you and putting together a schedule for when you could do that. But this fall, our adult classes, we're going to be focusing on the Bible at 10,000 feet. It's going to be our anchor class in this auditorium starting September 6th. Edwin's going to be taking us through an overview of the themes and the story of the Bible so that we can have then diving in a little more with that whole big picture of what the story is. We're also going to be having a class in the classroom building on general epistles, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, and Jude. Those are books that are just full of practical living for a holy people. And our college class this fall is going to be Building and Growing Your Godly Family. And there's some flyers in the back. There's some yellow paper. We encourage you, if you're here this morning for the first time and one of our college students, please pick one of those up and see some of the topics that are going to be in that class. We have a college class every fall. But then in the spring, trimester, we have our classes here in trimesters. We encourage you to integrate in with the rest of our classes. So there'll be a fall college class specifically gauged to some of those topics. And then in the winter trimester, we will be integrating in and ask you to be part of all of our other classes. We're going to do a lot of talk about next steps. We've already done that with the folks here. And we shepherds would like to encourage each and every one of you. If you're here this morning in our assembly, we're focused on honoring God. We've gathered around his table to remember him. We're singing praise to him. We're praying to him. We'd encourage you to commit yourself to the Lord. And if you weren't here this morning at 9, make it a commitment this fall to be here on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings to pursue holiness, to separate yourself from the world's appeals, and to learn of him. Be a disciple. Grow in your discipleship. Another thing that we're going to be looking at this fall is reorganizing our service teams. Last week, Edwin reminded us of the challenge facing the Jerusalem church in Acts chapter 6. There was a daily ministration. Think of that. Daily service that the church was involved in. In this case, there were some widows being neglected, and some weren't getting ministered to. We know, one of the passages I believe Edwin had up early, Jesus intended us that by our love for one another, people would know we're his disciples. He intended his church to care for his own. I think that's sometimes something I forget. You aren't just my brothers and sisters. You're his. And we care for each other not because of some natural affinity. We care for each other because we have a common Savior who's pulled us out of the mire. And so, one of our keys to growth, as we learned last week, is that one person or persons can't do it all. So the shepherds here believe that if we're going to be New Testament Christians, and if we're going to be a church that belongs to Christ, there's important works of service that need to be done. But we know how all too easily they can be overlooked. In a large congregation, it's assumed that surely someone's taking care of that, or surely someone has that. And we desire everyone to be a working part of the congregation. And so, a few years back, we decided to do much of our important work of service in what we're calling our service teams. They meet after Sunday evenings to address the service needs for this congregation that week. Sometimes there's a lot, sometimes there's not many. But this coming September 6th, we're going to be reorganizing those teams from the current 9 that we've had to 6 service teams. And we're asking our deacons that 2 of them are going to be leading each one of those 6 teams. That means the teams are going to be able to meet and help care for that week's needs once every 7th week. And that's about 7 times a year. We found that this works very well for helping keep things going and people being aware of what's happening. But it also means that we have more people to work together as we go from 6 to 6 from 9. And more people to help take care of that work. So we encourage each one of you again, September 6th, as our deacons contact you, to let you know what team you're in, please, as you have opportunity, as Paul said, to do good to everyone, especially those of the household of faith, set yourself apart, sanctify yourself to help in the simple service that we can do for each other here. And we encourage you and desire you to be involved in that. And a final thing is for those of you who are guests this morning, coming from all sorts of areas and are students at the college. The last couple of years, we've had families and couples in this congregation open their homes and hearts when you come here to Tampa for school. We're desiring to build relationships and encourage you to make worshiping with the church something more than just a spectator sport. We want you to be involved, and we want to get to know you and be involved with you. So make a commitment. Let someone make a commitment to you. We want to have you in our homes. We want to get to know you. We want you to have someone you can call on if you need some help with something as you're here in a location you may not be very familiar with. We want you to join with your adopt families. And we hope that we can provide this as a service and a help to you. We'll ask you to join in the service team that they're assigned to so that you can get to know people and can get to know and help in areas of service and work. Take the opportunity to work with this congregation in ways that are more than just public worship. And so communicate your desire to work with us. Fill out that connection card that you have in your program. Edwin will be talking about that more. If you're not ready now, then when you are, fill it out and let us know. We look forward to this. I've been excited about it. It gives me a chance to get to know some of you better than I ever have before. And we're glad you're here and chosen to be here this morning. And if you choose to be here and work with us this year, it's a blessing for us all. And parents, our prayer is that as you leave, drop your children off, your young people, as they're beginning a new life, that we'll watch for your son and daughter's soul while they're away from you and enable them to grow in their own faith while they're here. Edwin's going to talk to us a little bit more now about our other major emphasis this coming fall and our efforts to try to continue our growth as disciples in that circle and in his service to him.
As we pointed out earlier, a disciple is someone who honors God, who learns from God, who loves like God, who points others to God, all while abiding in God's word. We recognize that we help folks honor God by our assemblies here, and we're promoting learning from God through our Bible classes and pointing others to God through evangelistic outreach. But as the elders and I got together and we thought about what it means to be a disciple, we realized that we did not have a plan for helping us love one another like God. So this year we've been working on that. Those who have been members here have been hearing about this from January. It's a slow process, but we've been working hard, and we are excited that in just the next month, this is going to be rolling out. We want you to know about our house-to-house meetings. The purpose of our house-to-house meetings, and I was worried about the font here. I could see earlier we were having some trouble with fonts. House-to-house meetings exist to develop more meaningful relationships that will prompt deeper connection and service to one another by mutually digging deeper in applying God's word to our lives. Our house-to-house is not just about socializing. It's about digging deeper in God's word and challenging one another and helping one another grow. That's what the purpose for our house-to-house is. As we worked on a group program, house-to-house meetings, I have to tell you that I have always had a love-hate relationship with group programs. In fact, a lot of times it's been a hate-hate relationship with group programs. And so I've often in the past pushed away from them, tried to steer clear of them and figure out some way to accomplish some of the goals that we need to accomplish without that. But what I think I've discovered now after preaching for 20 years in 4 or 5 different congregations is that there has to be some kind of oversight. We want things to happen organically, but there needs to be at least some kind of loose oversight. The struggle that I've had with programs in the past is that most often they've had growth limiting goals. If you've been a congregation that's got a part of a group program, I can almost guarantee that what you've heard is, we got to make sure everybody gets to know everybody. And so what we're going to do is we're going to have some groups that we're going to start in January. We're going to break everybody down into these groups, and we're getting them all together so many times throughout the year. And then next January, we're going to shake it up so they can get to know other people. I want you to think about the Jerusalem congregation. The first week, they had about 3,000 members. Pretty quickly, they had 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Do you remotely think that Peter ever said to any of the other apostles, we got to come up with a plan where all 15,000 of these people know everybody else? I mean, have you ever thought about that? Could you imagine them saying, we've got to figure out for everybody to know everybody? And yet most often when churches, they come up with group programs, that's what they say. We got to let everybody know everybody. Do you know how many people you can know? You can know about 150. And so if we want to mirror Jerusalem's growth, we got to quit saying everybody has to know everybody. Otherwise, we need to break up into 3 congregations and be done with it. And I got to tell you, I, for one, believe like our area has enough congregations. We just got to start working with the congregations we've got to get more people into Christ. Thank you. So, growth limiting goals. Number 2, curriculum. It's always a struggle. Who's going to write that curriculum if we're going to have another program? And do we want to just go buy something? What if there's something that's untrue in that? You know, it's one thing to have some curriculum here in a class where the elders are overseeing that we can filter as it's going on. It's another thing to start breaking up into little groups in people's homes where there's not somebody there every time. So how are we going to deal? There's not an elder there every time. There's going to be somebody at these meetings every time. Right, guys? Make sure I say that right. What are we going to do with the curriculum? That's trouble. One of the things that I've always resented about a lot of group programs is it's assigned friendships. We've already got friends in the congregation, and then what we do is we break up into these groups, and the time when we would have spent with our friends, now we're being forced to do something else, and we go to the elders and we say, look, I had friends who were supporting me, who were taking care of me, and now I can't ever do anything with them. And it becomes a point of resentment for very many. Social spiritual goal tension. What is it about this group program? When you have the goal that everybody's supposed to know everybody, that automatically sets it up as a social thing. And what happens is a lot of times churches try to work through these loopholes. They know it's all about the social, but boy, we would never say that. And so they kind of, well, it's really about the spiritual here, but we know it's about the social. And that just bothers me. It's not the church's job to dictate friendships and to accomplish your socializing. That's not our goal. But that tension is almost always there in group programs. Unending commitment. Anybody know that feeling? Oh man, I've been assigned to this group and now I am stuck here forever. Am I right in that? Can I get an amen on that one? Come on, guys. Oh, we know. Unending commitments. That's a struggle. That's a struggle. And then a lot of churches, there's just no leadership training or support. There's just, hey, we're going to break up into these groups and you, and you get to be leaders. Go do it. That's a problem. And so what we've tried to do as we've established our living room aspect to what's going on, our loving like God, our loving one another like God, we've wanted to answer each of these problems. And so for our house-to-house meeting, the solutions here, rather than growth-limiting goals, we want to have unlimited growth goals. We are not establishing groups so you can meet everybody in the congregation. We're establishing groups so that you can know somebody in the congregation. The reality is, you're not going to know everybody. We've got to come to grips with that. I'd love for you to meet more people, and I hope you accomplish that. But we're not establishing house to house so that everybody can know everybody. We're establishing our house to house groups to make sure everybody knows somebody. We want you to come in here and know that this is the place where there are people who know me. This is the place where there are people who know my name, and it's through the house to house that that's going to be accomplished. We can do that without limiting the growth of the congregation. If we want everybody to know everybody, we're done. We're about as far as we're going to get. But if we're just making sure everybody knows somebody, we can add people and they can get to know somebody, can't we? We can do that up to 10,000, 15,000, 20,000, just like Jerusalem did. The curriculum is going to be sermon-based. If you have your program, you can go ahead and pull that out here real quick. On your program there on the inside right-hand page, you see where it says questions for further study? I know some of you thought, man, Edwin's giving us more work. Absolutely. But one of the reasons for this is because this is going to be what is in the study portion of our house-to-house meetings. This is what's going to be talked about. And so here's the great thing. You'll get to hear the sermon on Sunday. Then, now, pay attention to this part. Is everybody awake? Everybody awake and listening? You'll get to hear the sermon on Sunday. Then you, by yourself, individually, on your own time, will get to answer these questions by pulling out a pen, writing it down, thinking through the sermon and the further questions again. Then, when you're a part of a house-to-house group, you'll get together with other people who on their own, individually, have spent some time thinking about this and working on it, and then gather together to challenge one another and discuss with one another. That's going to be our curriculum. I love that. I'm already writing sermons every week anyway. Whew. This makes it just great for us to have the curriculum. Assigned friendships? Not in this one. This is going to have voluntary involvement. Nobody is assigned. We're not dividing you up by assignment. You get to volunteer for which group you want to be a part of. Next Sunday, we're going to have sign-ups. We haven't quite figured out all the logistics of that yet, but next Sunday, we will have the opportunity for you to sign up for whichever group you want to be involved in. We have 10 of them available. The limitation is going to be 14 adults. Kids are kind of extra. Children of the adults. The college, I know you guys still like to see kids and young people, but you're getting older. Trust me, it happens. You guys are allowed to be involved in this, but 14 adults in each group. With 10 groups, that means we're shooting for about 50% involvement this fall. We're hoping ultimately get to 80%. That's going to take some growth. We're shooting for 50% involvement this fall. You can choose the group you want to be in based on the night and time that it's going to meet, based on the location where they're meeting, based on the guy who's leading it, based on who's hosting it, based on who else said they wanted to go to it. You can volunteer for whatever reason you want. In addition to that, in the first 3 weeks, you are allowed to say, you know what? this is not the group for me. And it can be for any reason. Let's face it. We get into a group and there's old brother or sister so-and-so who we know is a wonderful person, but we just don't mesh. We think, nope, this one's not going to work for me. Or maybe you get in that one and this group, well, they're a little bit too much about the sharing, or, well, they're not doing the sharing as much as I'd like. So the first 3 weeks, you get to move out of that group. We were saying no questions asked, but there actually is one question asked. When you go to the leader and say, you know what, I'm going to back out of this group, they're not going to ask you why. They're not going to say, what did I do wrong? But they are going to say, can I help you find another group? So you can drop out in the first 3 weeks of that group. One question asked, can I help you find another group? And if there are opportunities open in other groups, we'll be able to help you find that. But it is completely, you get to decide which group you're going to be in part of. Completely spiritual goals. This is about supporting one another with spiritual endeavors, holding one another accountable. It's about digging deeper into the sermons. It is not an unending commitment. It's a manageable commitment. We're going to be doing this in sessions. So in the fall, we're going to have a 13-week session. We'll take the week of Thanksgiving off, so there'll be 12 meetings, but 13 weeks. At the end of the 13 weeks, you're able to say, you're going to be given a little form, and you can say, you know what, I'm going to take a break from the house-to-house next time, or I'm going to stay in this house-to-house meeting next time, or I'm going to try another house-to-house meeting next time. But for 13 weeks, that sounds like a whole lot better than a life sentence, doesn't it? Whole lot better. If you want to stay in the same house-to-house meeting when it comes up for the next 12-week session in the winter-spring session, you can do that. The same one in the summer session, you're allowed to do that. But you get to make that commitment. So manageable commitments. And finally, we are dedicated to leadership training and support. We went through the pilot session in the spring so that folks could have been involved in that and be prepared to lead. We had some leadership training just a week ago. We're going to have ongoing leadership training. If you want to be a leader or a host, that's going to mean you're going to go through some training as we go on. Because in this next session, the leaders we have now, they're looking for other leaders. They're looking for other hosts. And so that's going to be a part of that. What's the great thing about this? We've got some benefits in our house-to-house meeting. Number one, it's going to develop connections and relationships, not with everybody, but with somebody, to make sure that here's where the support we have is. It's going to help us with leadership development. Leadership development. It's going to help us improve sermon effectiveness. And we all know that our sermons need to have improved effectiveness. And so that's what these groups, that was supposed to be funny. I was really hoping for a laugh on that one. So now I'm a little concerned. Maybe you all agree. Improve sermon effectiveness. But again, it's going to cause us to not only hear the sermon, but we're going to go back and think about it on our own and then talk about it with others, driving that home. It's going to provide the next step in discipleship. You're going to hear us say next step a lot. If discipleship is a journey, that means we're taking a step and another step. And another step. And our goal is to make it painfully obvious and clear to you, here's what your next step in discipleship growth is. That's why on the back of our program, we have next step ideas. On the back of our connection card, it says next step commitments. We want you to think in terms of what's my next step of discipleship this week. And like I said, we want it to be painfully clear and obvious. I really hope that by the end of the year, you're all saying, oh, great, we get to see the circle again. Not because I want you sick of the circle, but because I want you to know it that well. I want you to know what the path of discipleship here is. It's going to provide that next step. It's going to help us ground new members. That's always a struggle, especially as the congregation grows. How do we help new converts come in? Won't it be great when we baptize somebody into Christ, and when they meet with the shepherds after that, the shepherds say, we've got a group of Christians we want you to connect with. Here it is. They're meeting on Monday night at 7 o'clock. It's right down the road from you. You can go be a part of that. And now they're digging in. Won't that be great? And it's also going to be a way for us to handle issues when questions arise. We've already got a plan in place now to be able to help deal with that. We'll be able to preach and teach on that. And then as the groups get together, the leaders under the other side of the elders, being able to deal with those kind of issues. So there are all kinds of benefits that come from this. In the H-to-H meeting and the house-to-house meeting, there are going to be three things that we're going to do each time. Share, study, pray. We're going to have a time to be able to check in and say, here's what's going on with me. Here's where I need your help. Here's where I need your prayers. We're going to spend some time studying the sermons. Please understand that that time of study is not just about knowing more. We've got Bible classes to help us know more. That time of study is about digging deeper. It's about having questions that are going to say, here's where I'm struggling with what I heard this week. I know I was told to be more merciful, but man, I am struggling with that because here's this person that just drives me crazy. I need y'all to pray for me. It's going to be a time of digging deeper in application, not just knowing more information. And then we're going to spend some time praying together, holding one another up in prayer. Just some logistics. Our fall session is going to be September 13th through December 6th. And next week, we're going to have the sign-ups. On the black tables in the back, today, we do have listed for you which meetings are going to take place, what night and time, and where they are. That way, you can be thinking over this next week, here's the one I want to sign up for. Next Sunday morning, following our assembly, we'll open up those sign-ups. It'll last for about 2 weeks. We'll have those in the back somewhere for you to do that. But if you're wanting to check that out, please don't take those maps off the table so everybody else can see them. But if you're wanting to kind of get an idea, thinking through which group you want to be a part of, you can check that out this morning as you leave, on the black tables in the back. All right, I want to share something else with you. This is something new that we've started doing since we've started our programs. And been some confusion, been some question, not all sure about how to deal with this. This is not just for guests. This is also for members. But if you're our guest here, I hope you can see what we're doing here with this connection card. Did you get a connection card? It should have been in your program. You can pull that out. This is an opportunity for everyone to give some feedback, to let us know who you are, where you're from, what you thought about the congregation. Here's the way this works, and I really hope, I'm a little concerned about the fonts, because I really worked hard to get a font that would look like handwriting. I'm a little afraid it's not going to work here. Here's how you do this. There's a line up there that says date. For those who've been using these, this is new. We just redesigned these, so we now have a date line, and you can put the date. Yes, good font. All right, you can put the date up there. Today is August 16th, 2015. You can put your name, Joe Coca-Cola, whatever your name is. Family attending with you today. Maybe you've got a wife and some kids. Maybe not. If you've got some family attending with you today, please fill that in. If you're a first-time guest, just put an X right there where it says first-time guest. First-time guest means this is the first time you've ever been with us. Put that there. Please let us know where you're from. This is not because we're going to, you know, GPS track you from now on. This is because we want to let you know how much we appreciate you being here. Please go ahead and fill that in for us. If you are filling this out for the first time, this is your first time here, please let us know how you heard about the congregation. Maybe Johnny Christian invited you. Maybe you were just driving by. Who knows? Maybe you got on the website and you saw something on the website. Please just fill that out for us and let us know that you were here. Maybe you're not a first-time guest. You're a repeat guest. By repeat guest, that means you've been here more than once. Not a member, but you've been here more than once. You can fill that out. You don't necessarily have to put your address down, though that would be helpful if you want to go ahead and fill that out. But you can just write your name on there, repeat guest. Well, oh yeah, we remember you being here. Now, maybe you're a regular attender. Here's what we mean by regular attender. Some people have questioned this. You know, we have some repeat guests. We have people who have family here, and they come 3 times a year. They're repeat guests. We have some folks, though, that aren't members here, but if you ask them, what church do you go to? They say, we go meet with the Christians that meet on Livingston Avenue. Not members. Not under the oversight of the elders, but they've been attending regularly. We want you to know, we appreciate that you've been attending with us. It is our goal to help bring you into the congregation. We'd like you to move from this one to member, but we do recognize there are some who aren't just repeat guests. I'm attending here. We'd like for you to indicate that so we can know that's how you see yourself, regular attender. But maybe you are a member. You've met with the elders. They brought you in. They've said, yes, you're under our oversight. We'd love for you to just remind us of that. Put that on there so we know, so that the folks in the back can divide it up properly. You may be letting us know that it's a change to your member contact info. If that's the case, make sure you put the new contact info on there. Don't just mark that's a change to your contact info, because we're not psychic. We won't know what it is. We need you to mark that on there. If you're a college student, please mark college student. You may mark any one of the others. You may be a first-time guest also. You may be a repeat guest. You may see yourself as a regular attender or a member. But if you're a college student, please mark on there college student. That will help us as our elders try to figure out, okay, who is it that we're shepherding? That'll help the elders with that. Then you can flip that card over. My next growth steps are, notice that the first four are designed to go around our circle. Maybe you're saying that, you know what, I need to love like God by connecting house to house with others. So that's what I'm going to be working on. That's my next step. Or maybe you're going to pick one of the others. Maybe you're going to apply something you heard in today's sermon. Then you can just write that in. I want to pursue holiness more. That's what we talked about. Over here, yeah, I need info. Do you need info about becoming a Christian? Mark that. Baptism, church membership, meeting with one of the shepherds, meeting with the preacher, connecting with other Christians. If you need more info about that, just mark any of those that you want to mark, and we'll be able to contact you and let you know. If you have any feedback or questions, just kind of fill that in right there. Hey, I was wondering this. I'd like that. Listen, we even want to hear if I didn't like that. We want to know that because we want to know what we can work on. And if you have any prayer requests, please just go ahead and fill that in. Please pray for me as I try to pursue holiness more. And what we're going to do in just a few moments during our collection, we're going to ask everybody to put your card in the collection plate, whether you filled it out or not. I know that there's some members, you don't have anything that you're wanting to let the elders know. You don't need to change any information, so you got a blank card. Please don't leave it on the pew. For the Lesters to pick up later or for somebody to go around, please drop that in the collection plate so we can recycle that and use it again next week. I do have something very special to ask, especially of our college students. As I've already pointed out, if you're a college student, please mark college student on this. We are not asking you to make a commitment today to be a part of our congregation. We do want you to know that it's important to us that you don't roam around and visit a congregation every week for the next year. It's important to us that you become a part of a congregation. We think it's important for you that you become a part of a congregation. You need to join yourself to a group of disciples. You need to come under the oversight of some leaders and shepherds who are going to shepherd the flock. Obviously, we'd love for it to be here, but we want to make sure that it's somewhere. If you would like to be a part of the congregation here, please make sure that you mark college student. Please make sure that you put on the back something that you mark the church membership spot. That way our shepherds and those who are working with our college students know you want to be a member of this congregation and we can get that ball rolling. Because some of those plans that Joe mentioned earlier, we want to get those kicked off as quickly as possible. We're not saying you've got to mark that today. If you're a return student, one of the things that we've come to grips with is we know that your girlfriend may be different this year, so you're going to a different congregation. We get it. A different boyfriend, or whatever reason. Maybe you wanted to be in one congregation this year and a different congregation next year, and we're fine with that. That's okay. That's all right. If you're returning, please mark college student and church membership if you're wanting to continue being a member of this congregation. That way we know. We want to know who it is that is a part of this flock. So remember, on this one, mark college student. On the back, mark church membership. If you're not making that decision today, you don't have to mark this on the back. But when you do in the next couple of weeks, please mark that. If I can go back, by the way, on church membership, our house-to-house meetings are for congregation members. It's about us learning to love one another. It's not about evangelism. It's not about reaching out to the community. Members of the congregation can be a part of that, whether college students or not. But if you want to be a part of our house-to-house meetings, members of the congregation are part of that. Whew. Joe, that was the longest 8 minutes I've ever heard, by the way. I'm just saying. Before I offer our invitation this morning, as we wrap up, number one, let me say thank you for your patience. Thank you for your patience. I appreciate this. I hope this has been beneficial and helpful to you. We wanted you to know what's coming in 2015, 2016. Before I offer the invitation, I have something individually that I want to especially say to the congregation on behalf of myself and on behalf of my family. Today marks our 1 year anniversary. We arrived this Sunday last year, and it was crazy overwhelming. Wow, seeing all those new faces. But it was great. And I want to attest to you from my family and from me that it has been a wonderful year. We have truly enjoyed it. I want to say thank you to you for the invitation to let us be here. I want to say thank you to you because we have received nothing but support this year. And we appreciate that. And it's just been great. Throughout the years, we've been a part of great congregations. We've been surrounded by generous people. And this congregation is just carrying on with that. We just consider ourselves the most fortunate of people. I know there's some other preachers here today. And I've heard war stories from other preachers about their experiences. God has just blessed me greatly. And this has been a continuation of that. And I want to say thank you. And we're looking forward to being here for many years to come. That's our hope. We're excited about that. And I also want to say, talking about generosity, I don't know who you are, but I know over the last couple of months, we have received people notice needs and just anonymously have done some things for us. And I don't know who to thank. So the best way I know to do that is just to say thank you. You know who you are. Thank you very much. That means the world to Marita, to me. Marita is enjoying it. Our kids are enjoying the connections here. We appreciate it. And I just wanted to say thank you. To our guests, thank you for your patience while I offered that message to our group. I want you to know that I love you. and plan on loving you for a long time. We're here this year. We're wrapping up Victorious. In the next couple weeks, we want to be pursuing holiness. And the struggle is that many of us have been like we see in Romans chapter 7. And I forgot. This is the part where I'm offering the invitation. I haven't gotten down on the floor, but we're offering the invitation now. So if you want to get your songbook out, you can. We're talking about pursuing holiness. And that's important because I know that you're like me and you've blown that. You've blown it. No matter how much you wanted to pursue holiness, I know that sin has been a part of your life. And I think about what Paul said in Romans chapter 7 and verse 24 as he summarized his life outside of Christ. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Has anybody else ever been there? Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I know you want holiness. And I know that you've blown it. But the wonderful thing is that there in Romans 7:24, when Paul asked that question, he had an answer. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus, perfect in holiness, went to the cross so that your body of death could be put to death. So that you could be raised to walk in new life. So that you could hear the blessed statement from Jesus, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Would you like to have holiness? We invite you this morning to turn to Jesus Christ. Let Him purify you. Let Him make you holy by His holiness. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. If we can help you turn your life over to Jesus and let Him take your sins away and walk you in the path of holiness, won't you come forward right now?
May have an abundance for every good work. So this time we're going to